Focus of our commentary and reading here tonight is on Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. When the foolish ones took their lamps, they did not take any oil with them, but the wise took oil in their containers with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, "No, there may not be enough for us and for you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were away buying oil, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came and said, "Lord, Lord, let us in." But he answered, "Amen, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's a story that comes from the sinking of the Titanic. A frightened woman found herself seated in one of the lifeboats and suddenly asked if she could run back and get something from her cabin. And the crewman that was crewing the boat said she had 3 minutes. Well, she ran back. And you're probably wondering what she might have run back for. It must have been something super important, maybe something incredibly valuable, maybe something she felt that she absolutely couldn't be without. Well, as she ran through various places on the ship to get to her first-class cabin, she ran through the gambling room where the tilting of the ship, already the money had been, and chips had all kind of rolled down to one end, and she ankle-deep made her way through to get through to her stateroom. And as she got there, she cleared away everything that was still on the dresser and reached up and behind onto a shelf and grabbed 3 oranges. She quickly made her way back to the lifeboat and got in. And you might think of all the things that she could have run back to get. In fact, she had pushed aside jewels and other valuable items that were sitting there yet. And she grabbed 3 oranges because she knew if she was about to spend several days in a lifeboat, that was far more valuable than anything else that she had in her stateroom. Death had come to the Titanic, and because of that, it changed priorities. As we look at this account of the 10 virgins, it's pretty serious. I mean, when we, and actually I'm going to pause for a second. Jim, would you mind whatever we did the other night, because the radio station is coming. Oh, Jason's got it. Thanks. Maybe it's not distracting for you, but it is for me. We have a radio station that comes through because of some of the wiring, and it's nothing we can do about it, except if we turn down, what is it? The projector volume. Then gone. So, there we go. Anyway, back to the point at hand. The end of time, of course, when Jesus comes again, and you know the connection with the story, that's pretty serious stuff. But interestingly, Jesus uses kind of a somewhat fun situation, I think, to try to connect with people who are kind of going through life, having fun and just not having a care in the world and not being ready and prepared for when Jesus would return. He's describing this situation where, kind of like maybe today we try to have some fun with weddings, you know, just to, oh, you know, the in years gone by, they'd throw rice or then they'd throw bird seed or tie the cans to the car. Or maybe today, sort of the fun way that people get the bride and groom to kiss at the reception. This is what's happening in the illustration that Jesus uses. It's kind of a fun thing. What would happen is the bride and her bridesmaids would be at her home, and the bridegroom would come to take them all and her family to the place where the wedding was being held for the ceremony, for the reception, and ultimately for the honeymoon. And as you know from probably understanding the wedding at Cana, this is a big event. 7 days it could go. But the fun was the bridegroom coming just when he thought he might catch him unawares. And of course, the best time is in the middle of the night because everyone has sort of fallen asleep. And you know how this story goes. They had their lamps and the oil and they were burning and everything was fine. But then all of a sudden at midnight, the cry came, the bridegroom is here. And those who had oil, the five, were able to fill their lamps and they were ready to go. The others didn't have oil. And of course, you're not going to share because then eventually all 10 will be without light as the oil gets spread between too many people on their way to the ceremony hall, the banquet hall. So the others have to go and find oil. Now, I don't know about you, but there weren't a lot of 24-hour oil sellers in those days. Then again, if you knew who sold them, you probably could pound on their door. Jesus told another parable about something like that where, you know, he kept pounding on the door till the guy finally got out of bed, not because he was so generous, but because he was so irritated that somebody was banging on his door in the middle of the night. Probably had to pay top dollar for their oil, but eventually they made it back. And this is where what was once fun now becomes serious, when the bridegroom won't let them in. And I think there's a part of us that at this point, you know, this is where the illustration kind of falls down, right? Because why wouldn't the groom just let him in? Seems like he's being kind of a jerk by not letting them in. But when we get to the connection that Jesus is making, we suddenly realize that this is a serious thing. People are going through life and they're kind of flipping about it and, you know, just having fun and who cares, I got plenty of time. And then all of a sudden, the time has come. And then it's eternally serious. Understand that as Jesus is talking to people here, the illustrations, Jesus is the bridegroom. But I think sometimes we look at those 10 virgins and we think of the 5 wise ones as being believers and the 5 foolish ones as being unbelievers. And we have this sort of tug on the heartstrings when we say, well, what about those people who never get to hear about Jesus? How are they going to be ready? Jesus isn't talking about those people. He's talking about people who ought to know better. He's talking about people who, for whatever reason, for whatever distractions, for whatever laziness, for whatever apathy, they don't keep their jug of oil full. You see, the oil is the means of grace. That lamp is our life of faith. And if we don't stay in the means of grace, then we run out of oil, and there's no way that our lamp can burn because we don't have the gospel in word and sacrament. That's the point that Jesus is making here. You see, I think we're, because of our sinful nature, we're kind of like a little puppy. You know, you can teach a puppy to sit, right? Sit. Stay. And that puppy isn't going to stay for nothing, at least at first. But the more you work at it and the more you do it, the more you train, eventually that puppy is going to stay, right? Or at least for a time. And maybe he'll sit and he'll stay. And you might be able to walk all the way across the room, turn around, and the puppy's right at your feet instead of stay. I mean, you know how it is. If you've ever trained a dog, you know how it is. And that's how we are. We get into the means of grace. We make sure that we're keeping our jug full of oil. And then we get distracted. And we separate ourselves. Or we wander off. Or we just don't pay attention. And all of a sudden we find that maybe our time in the Word isn't as often. Or a connection with our home congregation isn't as often. Or we find ourselves distanced for many and varied reasons, which at first might seem legitimate. And maybe they are in the moment. But as that puppy, we just get distracted and wander away and wander off. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves with no oil. Now, the good news is we are living in our time of grace, right? And so this is a good call from Jesus, a reminder to come back. So I'd like to just have you take about a minute. You'll see in your worship folder both the empty bowl. Take a minute to just be deliberate about some of the things that distract you. Some of the things that keep you from keeping your jar full of oil. And I'll literally give you a minute. Can you hear that? Okay, now I can't turn it off. There we go. So you recognize that there are lots of distractions. If you're anything like me, you know how easy it is to find yourself distracted from what is important. And all you can really do at this point is look at that list, admit to yourself who you are and who the Lord wants you to be. Recognize your shortcomings and failures. Go to the Lord to seek his forgiveness, and then be confident in his forgiveness. To know that each new day is a new day of grace, to live a new and holy life before the Lord, completely forgiven with that clean slate. New Year's Eve is as good a time as any, perhaps better than most, to be able to do that, take that time for self-evaluation, to see who you are by nature, to look to God's word to see who he would have you be as a new believer in Christ, and know that in between is not just the forgiveness for who you have been, but the power to be able to be who God would have you be. He doesn't ask anything of you that he has not done himself or provide you in order to be who he would have you be. And so now I would ask you to take a minute as well to take a look at your list of distractions and then look at preparations. Look at the things that you can do to maybe address some of those distractions, or maybe some ways that you can help yourself to be more deliberate about being in that means of grace to be able to fill that jar with oil. So again, I'll give you a minute. Go ahead. So it all starts, I'm not going to ask anybody to share, so don't worry about that. That is something that you can do on your own between you and the Lord, or maybe with a spouse or a friend that you can help hold each other maybe a little bit accountable, or to encourage one another to make sure that you continue to connect with that gospel message. Because it's there that we see Jesus taking our sin away, making us clean, empowering us to live those new and holy lives. It is there that our lamps will be filled with the oil of the gospel to be able to burn brightly in this world. And no, you will be tested. You will continue to sin. You will fail. But know that forgiveness continues to be yours. That power continues to be there until eventually God brings us over from this time of grace to the time of glory that awaits us, where we will enter that wedding banquet and feast forever. The bridegroom is coming. Be ready with your lamps of gladness. As we'll sing, Jerusalem, arise, awake, your lamps with gladness take. The joyful call, answer all, and follow to the wedding hall.